Good on you, man. Thanks, dude. That was a cool worship. Us as a church. I can't help but look out when you see everyone just going for it. It's so cool. And I've been up on the stage a few times, and you can tell when the church is just united. You can tell tonight you guys were united and just going for it. It was rare. Love it. So shot. Just a side note, Benny. Sorry, but this is a bit different, but I couldn't stop thinking about you today, bro. You've got anointing on you at the moment, and I think you're going to change some people in Raglan. A lot of people, bro. A lot. So, just a side thought, bro. In worship, I couldn't. Just, my eyes were drawn to you. The anointing is on you, man. So, it's exciting. Andy asked me to speak probably a couple of months ago, right? And it was, and I was like, oh, okay, sweet, cool, no worries. And I didn't really have anything on my heart or mind at the time, and I was kind of like, sweet, I'll just go through a process of asking God, what do you want? What do you want me to speak on? So as I was reading the Bible, as I was praying, I was sort of always asking, knowing at some stage soon I'll be talking, but nothing really came. Nothing stuck, and it was kind of like, oh yeah, okay, I'm sure it will at some stage. And nothing really did. And as my mind's kind of been quite blocked quite a little bit because I've been doing extra study at the moment. The real estate in my mind's a little bit, I'm a monofocused dude, I admit, and I've been a bit like that. And it's kind of like, and I know this word's been coming up, and when I go to think about it, I'll be like, God, what do you want to speak on, you know? And again, I'd go through that process of reading the Bible, talking to God, but nothing would jump out, and nothing would sort of settle on my heart. And when I've spoken before, I've sort of found something just sticks, and you know that's right. But like I said, nothing was sort of sticking. It was kind of a weird process. Like, God. And that was like, you know, we're getting within days, and I'm going, kind of need something, you know? Even there was some kind of weird things that were happening. Like last weekend, me and Marty just get with the runners' kids to the toilet. We went for a surf last weekend at Rupuki. And on our way out there, we had some conversations, and I was saying, oh, man, I heard there was a dolphin that had, apparently it was a dolphin with a whale-like head, one of those, you know, weird, morphed-up creatures that had washed up on the Rupuki beach there. And I was like, oh, apparently it washed up. That could be quite interesting. And I was like, hang on. If this thing's sitting there and just the carcass is on the beach and washing out to sea, acting as burly while we're sitting out in the water, it might not be so flash. I was like, and then I said to Marty, actually, did you hear about that shark attack that happened in Northland recently? Because there was one just recently. A late young dude, a surfer, got mauled. He got his arm chopped. And his bald, mangled. Marty's kind of like, probably not the best conversation you want to have on the way for a surf, bro. Then literally a minute later, I was talking to Lana on the phone, and we were chatting as per normal. And at the end of the conversation, she said, have fun, have a good surf. Don't get eaten by a shark. I'm like, she's never said that. Don't get eaten by a shark. So I'm starting to go, dude, what's up? You know, like, we get to Rupuki, and if you know the south end of Rupuki, you climb over the sand there. And the first thing we see is like, there's like one clump of surfers. Like, if you've got like a 3K beach or whatever it is, surf, okay? You've got this one clump of surfers sitting out there in the water. I'm thinking, well, no one's out there. So not only with that, there was a guy on a four-wheeler running a Contiki right out near the middle of them. I was like, he's got this whole beach and he's running this line straight out near the middle of them, right? We're like, what? Like, hang on, what's going on here? And then he starts hauling in, and this thing was flapping away, and he hauls off a shark. And it's like, a baby about so big. It's like, nonetheless, then he goes, throws it back to sea. We're standing there with our boards, and we're like, sweet. He goes, don't worry, lads, it's only a baby. So he's like, well, like, where there's a baby, there's a mama, right? You know, I was thinking. But anyway, we went for a surf. It was all right. You know, but you know, through that weird chain of events, and we were fine, and it was sweet, but I sort of, now and then with the boys, we're looking, your feet would pop up, you know. Boys would pop up. You know, you do these sort of weird things. You didn't see me do that, eh, Mads? Real men don't do that. Anyway, so this weird chain of events, I thought, God, is that it? You've sort of had this happen so I can pull something out of that and create a word. And I kind of sort of took different angles of it, thinking, hey, what is it? Jonah 2.0, I don't know. God save me from the wrestle, me from the shark, anything like, nah, nothing. Nothing really sort of stuck, and I was like, ah, back to square one again, nothing. And then, you see, in my process, I was battling, and I was trying in my power to find and seek and somewhat provoke something, provoke an answer to what I was going to talk on. And in that whole time, my headspace was still sort of blocked and a little bit unfocused. And it wasn't really, and ironically, that's kind of what I'm going to talk about tonight. Because it wasn't until I got home, turned the TV off, turned the phone off, the kids went to bed, Lana was out that night, and I went outside, and it was a clear night, it was a full moon, beautiful big moon, and I sat under the stars, and I just stared up at the stars, and I was like, I had this amazing sense of peace, and I was like, awesome, and God was like, that's it, and it was this beautiful sense of peace. I was just me sitting out there staring at nature. I was like, man, nature's so cool, like, it's so powerful, you know, it's so... And we live in Raglan, we're full of this beautiful nature, you know, and I think that's a good place where we can find God. It's amazing. And basically, in that moment, I sort of let go. I said, you know, I've got nothing. God, what do you want me to speak on? And that's pretty much that. If I was to put a title on tonight's word, it would be letting go. So when we say these phrases in church, we say the word letting go, giving our all. And in church, it's quite a common sort of phrase, I guess, in a lot of the songs that we sing. But what does that actually mean? And do we really let go? So I just want to give you some thoughts about what I believe God's speaking to me. And a lot of what I'm talking about is actually a challenge to myself. You know, it's like these things have been really challenging me. When I think of the term letting go, I think about when I did a tandem skydive out here, out in Raglan. And it was this tacky little plane. It was only like a little two-seater. Sasha was actually sitting in the front there. It was this tiny little thing, like, a hideous little plane, and they leave the door open, so he's sitting there, and the guy that was the tandem was sitting next to me, sort of trying to tag our way up to 10,000 feet in the air, and it's kind of like, this door was open the whole way, it's like, man, this is raw dog. But anyway, I was like, and I was kind of like, I was not really nervous at that stage, not really one inch, I was actually quite pumped. I sort of overhyped myself before I got there, and I was like, sweet, this is going to be mean. But it was not until the guy said, right, you're ready, and then I was like, yep, and at that moment, I was like, actually, now I've got to trust this guy. And then it's kind of like, because, you know, the clouds, I'm looking at this door, which was open the whole way, the clouds are flying past. I'm like, sweet, and this plane, because it was so, like, in the air, it just felt, like, unsafe. And I was like, well, at least I've got a parachute, these guys in the plane. But good luck, Sash. But at that moment, he's like, just wiggle forward. It's like, and he sort of sat behind me and clip, clip, his, on goes his buckles. And he goes, okay, just... hang outside the plane. Like, what, dude? Just hang outside the plane. It wasn't in my mind when I was going to go skydiving. I sort of like thought, you know, the door would open and be like, nah, this is like hang outside the plane. Like, what? So I actually had to hang my feet outside the plane. Like, you know, you're 10,000 feet in the air. And I was holding onto this door and I see his legs pop up and he goes, let go. I'm like, yeah. Didn't move. Just let go. Like, yeah, you got me, eh? Just let go. Yeah. It's like, you can let go. Like, okay. But, you know, at that moment, I had to trust him. I had to sort of know this guy was there. And when it happened, it was amazing. Such a cool thing. All I could just picture, like, it could be the biggest mungaree and Raglan ever could see. But, you know, this guy, he had me. And it was an amazing thing. And that's kind of like what I want to talk about, how we just sometimes got to let go. And it's an easy thing to say, you know. In life, when things get busy or can seem like they're spinning out, or we're losing control, the instinct, our human instinct, is to actually hold on tighter, eh? But Jesus tells us to do completely the opposite. He says, let go, man. And then we can discover God in a whole new, fresh, in a way that we've probably never understood or experienced. As I said before, our human nature is to actually hold tighter. In moments when we're upset, we're angry, feel insecure, feel like we're unjustly treated, unsafe or hurt. That's those moments we often hold on tighter, right? It's just it's human nature. And when we need to forgive and forget, we kind of forgive and possibly forget and maybe bring it up now and then. You know, it's kind of, unfortunately, it's the human nature. If you don't think we are the best at forgiving, think about the All Blacks and Wayne Barnes, you know, you think, we bring up that forever and ever, man. It was a fourth pastor, right? Yeah. But you ever heard that statement, just let it go? Someone says to you, man, you've just got to let it go, bro. It's an easy statement to throw out, but really quite a big deal to actually truly let go, eh? And like I said before, we hold on tighter and tighter. Taylor, can you throw that verse up? I just want to turn to John 5, verse 1. Jesus, another feast came around, and Jesus was back in Jerusalem. Near the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there was a pool. In Hebrew, called Bethesda. Lance said to me, you just got to say it fast and no one will know how to say it. Because I don't know how do you pronounce that? Someone have a shot. Lance said, she told me, say it fast, no one will know. In Hebrew, called Bethesda. with five alcoves. Next one, Taylor. Hundreds of sick people, blind, crippled, paralyzed, were all in these alcoves. One man had been in valor for 38 years. When Jesus saw him stretched out by the pool, he knew how long he had been there and said, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man said, "Sir, when the water is stirred, I don't have anybody to put me in the pool. By the time I get there, somebody is already in." Yeah, that's right. Just hold that one for a minute, Taylor, thanks. So what happened in that moment? God said, "Do you want to get well?" The guy sort of, what was his response? He didn't say, "Jump up," said straight away, "Yeah, sweet." He sort of, he somewhat battled with it, right? This makes me sort of suggest the thought that, you know, as humans, we have the ability to hold on to our emotional state to the point where it somewhat becomes our identity, eh? And have you ever sort of come across people that are real continually negative? It's like that weight is on them. Or just magnet or create drama. Or have that victim mentality. Or always feel like they're unlucky or worse off. I think in New Zealand, we kind of have the somewhat the psyche to keep up with the Joneses sort of mentality. We're all sort of looking over the fence to what we don't have opposed to what we do have. And I think it's that quite a common thing ingrained in us, sadly, you know. But that's not what God has actually got planned for us. He wants us to be free of that stuff. And those things, those emotions can actually have control on us. And that's not the identity that God actually has planned for us. I was just reflecting on when writing this out of the guys that had just been to Cambodia, and one of the things they all said, and quite clearly, they went to this place with the mindset they were going to see these poor guys in probably a bad state. But what they said, yeah, they were poor, but they were happy, and they all said that they were all really happy. And that was sort of, you guys would agree, that was quite a, Kanika was really surprised how really genuinely happy they were. It wasn't a show, it was the real thing. And isn't that amazing, eh? Like over here, we're so blessed. You just got to, you know, see everything what we've got. We've got a beautiful, clean country. It smells great. It looks amazing, you know. You say that to, like, my brother. He'd just been traveling all through South America. He said he'd come back here and he's like, "Man, New Zealand smells good." Come on. But you take these small things for granted. We're blessed with just beauty around us, you know. And it makes me think, you know, are these blessings and comforts that we actually have, are they actually somewhat of a distraction? And we're such a busy human race, you know. We're so continually, we've got these devices with us all the time. We've got computers, TVs. It's just constant, eh? And they're distractions in a way, you know, and we've got to acknowledge that. And sometimes these, somewhat we almost have these lens of negativity that just get put on our eyes. We're not seeing things for what they really are, you know. And in that moment, and when we get like that, and we can all get like that, you know, if we actually put our hand up, we can actually look at that. It's so easy to fall in those sort of negative traps. It's so easy. God wants us, we're blessed to be a blessing. Meaning, you know, we're supposed to hand that on. When we're like that, we're not going to be a hand on a blessing, you know. Let's put the first pick up to you. If I said to you, what is it that sits between us and God? And your reaction would be sin, right? And that's totally, totally understandable and true. But I just want to mention a few things about that. God, he's not afraid of sin. He's sinless. He's pure, you know. God doesn't measure sin. He doesn't say, "Oh, that's a real big sin, that's a little sin." He just sees sin as sin, you know what I mean? He's not in that game of measuring sin. What God is about, he's actually about our heart. He's about looking at our heart and seeing where we stand. And how we react, respond, and ultimately want to remove sin. God is love. God is amazing grace. So I just want to look at that sort of picture when you ask that question in a different realm. Here's the next one. Thanks, Taylor. I sort of look at it a little bit like this. We're here. And sin is there, but we kind of battle some of these attributes. I put stubbornness at the top. Stubbornness, what is that? It's when we refuse to move, we are holding on, you know. It's like, I'm not moving, I'm shaking. We might have sins in our life, sins that we just keep continually trip up on. And we know that, but we stubbornly don't let go to it. We just continually hold on. Sometimes when we're hurt, just have stink attitudes about life. We're angry with things. We're insecure. Or sometimes just too ashamed to actually have that sin removed. And these are, you know, it could be a whole lot of list of emotions, you know, that I could have written down. But you sort of see how that, it's not just sin in itself, but some of these emotions that we can take into our life and it can mold us somewhat, you know, and have a stronghold on our life. Teddy, can you just go to that 5 verse 8? Go back to that verse. When God laid his hands on that that guy that was paralyzed for 38 years, Jesus said, "Get up, take your mat, start walking." He was healed instantly. It was actually clear and precise. It's pretty amazing, really. And I kind of reflect on the last few weeks of words that have been at, here. Like you think about Ben and Charlotte, they shared some amazingly powerful testimonies. If you haven't heard them, get online, check them out. They're really cool. It's amazing stories about what their journey and end of the day, what did they have to do? They had to let go. And when that moment, when they finally let go, God met them and did realign things for them and took them on a whole new fresh journey that has shaped their life for so much more exciting things, you know. But they had to let go. It wasn't just, you know, it wasn't easy for them, but they did, and things are awesome for them. I think of these situations in my own life, excuse me, even when I mentioned at the start of this, when I was shaping this word, that was just a small example. I had to let go before God did something, you know, and he planted something in my heart. Then I think of bigger things in my life. When I was just mucking around with friends that were just dragging me nowhere but away from God, really. It was just all about drinking, partying, fighting. It was a bad scene. And I had to sort of, and they were my only friends. I didn't have many Christian friends. But then I had to stand up and actually, like, you know, literally let go of those guys. And I talked a lot with God through that whole process, but it was a most powerful moment in my life, and it was not easy. I had to move myself away from friends, and I was actually really lonely for a while, so it was actually really hard. You kind of think, oh, God, where are you answering me here? I've just done this, you know, to try and line myself up with you. But, man, did God answer me tenfold. Man, all the things I have in my life now would not be there had I stayed in that mold. Yeah, thinking about this, it was reminded me and Marty were talking the other day. We remember when Alan, he spoke, he used the example of Homer Simpson. It's kind of a funny sort of thing. When he mentioned when Homer Simpson, kind of a mockery sort of cartoon, you know. And he was reaching for his drink in the vendor machine. And he just, Homer being Homer, that was his thing. He had his eyes set on, that's what I want, food, food, as he does. And he knew it wasn't right. He didn't have the money, but he reached into the vendor machine. You play the video here? It's got the back end of the video here. It's pretty crack up. All right, sorry, just play it again with the audio. I have to rewind it. Sorry, Taylor. Classic, eh? So good. But it's kind of funny. I look at that and go, you know, it's kind of a, isn't that us in a way? You know, we're just holding on. But God's actually looking down. I mean, you look at, in that moment, it was mates were laughing at him. But I kind of look at it that same way God is looking at us. He's not laughing at us. But he's kind of going, mate, you just have to let go. It's actually, for us, we're like battling, like, but if we let go, we're going to start to see things in a whole new way. And it's amazingly exciting. And I just want to encourage you tonight. I don't know, when I'm talking right now, maybe you're thinking of things, yeah, man, I've got some things. We all have, I believe. I actually will believe we've all got different things. Might be small things, might be big things. But God wants us to just let go. I know I can stand up here on the mic and say that, but we've got to take ownership of our own steps. So can I just ask you guys to bow your head for a minute? God, you know where we're at. You know our journey. It's crazy. We're all on different journeys, God, and you know our heart. And God, just ask that we just you stir us up to want to let go, Lord. Just give us the power. It's not an easy thing necessarily, but I just pray that you give us that courage. And just thank you that you're a God that is there to walk with us, not just leave us abandoned. You're actually going to be there with us and give us that strength to carry on. So thank you, God. And just pray that you give us that courage, Lord. Yeah, so I just want to encourage you guys as we're just kind of finishing up now, but I'd be so stoked if you want to really let go of some things tonight and make tonight a stand. You know, that'd be so cool. We've got a group that would love to pray with you, and so yes, really encourage you to take that step. And also, if it's just, you know, in your week, just make sure I'm talking to myself here as well, that we take time to find that place of peace. There's so many things that can just shape our heart. And when I went to that moment of just putting things aside, man, there's so much power in that, you know. I was just almost like bummed out, like, oh, man, why do I get caught up with so much busyness? I need to do this more often, you know, just realign my heart. And it just felt so good. We all need to find that undistracted place that we find God, you know. So we want to encourage you to do that as well. Make it a priority and an intentional time. Thanks, guys.